May 20th, Ignatius of Loyola.
Welcome to 365 Christian Men, where every day we aim to inspire and encourage with real-life stories about men.
Ignatius's early life followed a predictable pattern for boys born in wealthy, noble families. He started as a page and then a knight, both soldier and diplomat. On this date, in 1521, while he was serving as a soldier, he was severely injured by a cannonball. He almost died. His legs were damaged, and his career as a knight was decidedly over. In Ignatius's second career, he embarked on pilgrimages, lived as a beggar, and often spent up to 7 hours a day in prayer. Being orderly and diligent, Ignatius recorded the way he practiced Christianity in a document called Spiritual Exercises of Ignatius of Loyola, which includes meditations, contemplations, and prayers. He practiced these disciplines long before he became a priest, and he thought of them as helps for all believers, helps for the necessary change of heart. Eventually, with like-minded believers, Ignatius founded a religious order known as the Jesuits. Here's how he got started. What you're living for may not be what you were created to do. For 28-year-old Ignatius, cannon fire rang in his ears, the shouts of war echoed in his mind, and the vision of his useless torso and legs bound to a bed challenged his manhood. He had been a nobleman. He'd been a hot-headed gambler. He'd been a bon vivant. That's French for high life of the party. He had never been shy about using his sword, and he had been captain of the Spanish artillery. When the French attacked the Spanish town of Pamplona, their fortifications weren't finished yet, and the military outpost was weak. The Spanish officers wanted to retreat, but Ignatius wanted everyone to stay and defend the place until the reinforcements arrived. Ignatius said, "To shun the common peril is the nature of cowards. To perish in the universal ruin is the mischance of brave men. I should deem a man worthy of immortal glory if he had died of his fidelity." Since Ignatius wasn't in charge, most of the Spanish troops did retreat. But Ignatius and the men he commanded ran into the citadel and fought fiercely. Ignatius stood on the wall. That would be the wall that the French were bombarding with cannon fire. One cannon strike drove a stray bit of castle through Ignatius's left leg, and the cannonball shattered his left. He fell. His men fell. Pamplona fell. And Ignatius became a prisoner of war. But his wounds were severe, and the French admired his guts. So they treated him with all honor for 15 days, and they administered the last rites. When he gave up his helmet, sword, and shield, the French even carried him home to his family castle to recover. But fever ravaged him, and he needed surgery. The leg would never fully heal. A limp was guaranteed. It was a miracle Ignatius even survived the siege, let alone his injuries. But as his slow recovery lingered, it wasn't the pain or the suffering that kept his mind diseased. His life had been dedicated to the chivalry of knighthood. How could he gain honor and glory in battle when he lay crippled in bed? No, he would not let glory escape him. He was a soldier of the king. He would remember his duty. No injury would keep him from battle. He would refocus on the things that mattered. The knighthood, being a soldier, fighting for life and love. He asked his caregivers for something to read. A good chivalrous romance. Surely that would keep his mind occupied. But the only books they had were The Life of Christ by a monk named Ludolf and Lives of the Saints. Ignatius was perplexed and perturbed. Here he was, recovering in a great castle, but there were no stories of knights. He would go mad without something to do. Still, the books at hand were better than staring at walls. Turned out, he found these true stories enjoyable, inspiring even. When he lay in that peaceful place between wakefulness and dreaming, he thought of his duties as a soldier, his quest for glory and love. All this was the pinnacle of his career. His joy disappeared. He felt empty, dead inside. But when he thought of Christ, the stories were just as glorious. Joy washed over him. His whole self was bathed in peace, and the deep peace never left. He compared what he had read to his own life, his years as a knight. Did he really want to spend his life fighting? After the initial high of a win, there was nothing. All the war and its glory had been a waste. But the saints served the glory of Christ and not their own. That felt like true purpose. A heart fire ignited within Ignatius, and as he recovered, he changed his routine. He no longer wished for his old life. He would make a new one, a life loyal to Christ. One night, he even pledged himself for the rest of his life to be Christ's servant. Ignatius understood the words of Paul found in 2 Corinthians 3:10. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. What things that bring you glory are related to Christ? What you're living for may not be what you were created to do.
Hello, this is Michael Borner from Mission 17, and today we get to draw inspiration from Ignatius of Loyola, a figure of resilience and transformation, a noble warrior who really reminds me of William Wallace from Braveheart. And Ignatius ran fearlessly into battle. At 28, he was severely wounded, which ended his military career, but it began his spiritual quest. And while recovering, Ignatius reflected on his life and found new purpose through reading about Christ. And this led him to found the Jesuits, which is amazing. They still are around today, and they focus on education and justice and faith. And I love the fact that even Ignatius' French enemies admired him so much, his bravery, that they carried him all the way back to his castle, a true testament to his formidable spirit. And I love Ignatius' quote, "I should deem a man worthy of immortal glory if he had died of his fidelity." His journey from soldier to saint exemplifies how our greatest trials can become pathways to profound spiritual awakening and God's calling in our lives. Let's ask ourselves, what are our cannonball moments? How can they redirect us towards a greater purpose? And let us be challenged to patiently allow the Lord to guide us through our life-altering adversities and inspire us to transform hardships into opportunities for growth and deeper fidelity to Him.